With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Just a quick heads up to remind you that the We Have Spoken podcast will contain spoilers, like for everything. No matter what we're talking about, there will be spoilers. This is your final warning. Spoilers are ahead. Everyone, welcome to the We Have Spoken podcast, season 10, episode 2, covering season 3 of The Mandalorian.
Too many numbers.
Math. So much math.
So many maths. There's no way it's been 10 years.
No, it has not. It's just, you know, that's what I'm doing. Chuck P. and the Grimm, Michael Grimmion here to catch up because we did not do an episode last week for episode 2. Of The Mandalorian, so we're covering last week's episode and this week's episode, which we just watched. We're fresh from viewing.
Fresh.
Fresh. It's in our brains.
In the brains and in the blood.
Yes, but before we do that, now we have to go back into the memory vaults.
No, not the memory.
No, the memories.
And, well, it's not so bad because episode 2 was a sight better than episode 1.
Man, I got so much hate for not loving the first episode of season 3. Well, T-Bob Hebert, for one, came down hard on me.
When's he going to come on this show and stand up for his beliefs?
Well, you know, who knows? Who
Never.
Knows? His schedule, we got to catch him right after he's done with his show, but then you're at work. So
right.
It's like,
I got to take a day off.
Yeah.
And we'll just ambush him.
Yeah.
Get in here. We're doing this.
As we should. He loved the first episode, and I'm just like, if you go back and watch the first episodes of the previous seasons, they were way better and ended on a holy what the, you know?
Right.
This one did not. And it was just, I told him, I was like, it just felt rushed and disjointed. But episode 2, not so much.
I stand by my statement that if episode 1 had been the episodes of The Mandalorian that they sandwiched into Boba Fett.
Yeah.
It would have been fantastic.
Oh, it would have been amazing. It would have been perfect. And it wouldn't have confused a lot of people, which it did.
It did. And there's people still, out there that were like, what?
Yeah, and we're still trying to figure out the whole
a friend of the show
year things.
A friend of the show, our friend Michelle,
yeah,
that came on at the last episode of season 2. Mm-hmm. I saw her message me something about like, what, I didn't watch Boba Fett, so I had no idea why is Grogu there and why is this? And it's just like, I didn't know what was going on. Where's the ship come from? And I said, yep, that's my point.
And that's why I put out there before the first episode dropped for season 3, you may want to go and watch these episodes of The Book of Boba Fett. You don't necessarily have to watch The Book of Boba Fett because it's not that good.
Right.
But if you want to know what's going on with The Mandalorian, you need to watch these episodes.
Okay, we're done beating on episode 1.
Yes.
Of season 3.
Episode 2.
Sepitode
45th.
What is it? Hypnotode.
Wow,
wow, wow. Episode 2, which is entitled Episode 2. I don't know the names. All I know is episode 2 was awesome.
Episode 2 was great.
It was fun. It had a lot of shit going on. Oh, mark it.
Mark it, dude.
We ain't supposed to say those words. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Anyway. Marker set. I'll take care of it in post.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff going on in episode two.
There was.
And I can't even remember everything because episode three is so fresh in my mind.
Right. Episode two was titled The Mines of Mandalore.
Right. Of
because
course.
Because
they went to the Mines of Mandalore.
Yeah, that's how that works.
The Mines of Moria.
There was a creature lurking deep.
There was a creature lurking deep, and it had horns.
But also, there's this weird little robot one-eyed creature dude.
Okay. So let's go in order. Din goes to Tatooine.
Yeah.
Talks to Pelimoto. I'm looking for a chip. We kept saying IG-88. It is not. It is IG-11.
I know. We apologize for that.
I'm sorry. Look, we're getting old and our brains are not working like they're supposed to.
Facts.
So he goes there and he's like, hey, I need a part for IG-11. He interrupts her or the end of her scamming a guy.
Yeah.
Like, She's all like, oh, yeah, I can fix this, man. We can fix this. It's no problem. But, you know, the part's going to take a while and da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, just fix it, right? And then I did like the part where she's kind of doing, you know, I don't know. It'll take. And then she looks and the little robot holds up two fingers.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know, two weeks or something. I don't know if they said 2 weeks, but it sounded like it. And
it was going to take a while.
Yeah, it was going to take a while. I thought it was funny. And then, you know, they're all watching. Oh, did he leave? Yeah, okay, he left. All right. And then here come the Jawas with all the parts off of his vehicle that they stole.
Right. That they're going to sell back to him.
They're going to sell back to him his own parts.
And double the cost.
And also paint them so they look different.
So, the guy won't even know they're his own parts.
They won't even know.
No clue.
Just a scammer. Oh, Pelly.
And I called that in the first episode when they were like, you need to go get a piece. Sure. I'm like, well, we're going back to Tatooine.
Right.
Got it. Who else are they going to go to?
Tatooine is the lodestone.
Yeah.
That's where we must touch. Go ahead. You go.
Well,
your turn.
Once he gets there, she informs him, like, that you can't, we don't have this thing. You can't find this chip that you need to bring IG-11 back. Almost said IG-88. So she's like, how about this R4 unit that's seen some things? And we already know he had a bad motivator.
He did. He did. Well, I wonder if the motivator is what makes him so, what's the word I'm looking for here?
I don't know.
Scared?
I don't know. I'd like to know if there's
Because if not, then droids have souls.
Right. Apparently, yeah.
I mean,
There's got to be a backstory out there of everything that R5-D4 has gone through since we saw him last when his motivator busted or whatever in episode 4.
Well, she said he was a part of the rebellion.
He was part of the rebellion, but like what, you know, who did he end up with? What did he end up doing?
I don't think he left Tatooine, honestly.
You don't think so?
I think he was dropped in Tatooine as part of a drop of or loss from the rebellion.
Yeah, because how would he end up with someone else? Because the stormtroopers killed the Jawas that sold R2 and C-3PO to Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Yeah, but then they didn't like destroy all the droids that were on there. So other Jawas would have found the.
Or did they take them?
No, there was nothing for them to take.
The droids. They could have took the droids.
But they were looking for specific droids. But they are not the droids you're looking for.
But we can repurpose these droids.
That's right.
We are diving deep into R5-D4 history.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. They never did a backstory for R5-D4.
No, they did not. Not that we know of. I'm sure there's some Star Wars.
Release the R5-D4 cut.
Hashtag release.
Release the cut. The bad motivator cut.
The bad motivator cut. Bring back the RD5-4 verse.
RD54? What?
R5D. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right. We're getting a little punchy.
Yeah. So he ends up taking R5D4 because he needs a droid to check the air quality on Mandalore to make sure he can even get out and walk around and do things.
And you know what's so funny? And not really funny. Haha. I'm turning into my dad. My dad does this all the time when he feels like interjecting. He says, "This is funny." And then it's never funny.
All right, Leonard.
Yeah. Yeah. So. He was adamant about IG-11. Adamant.
Yeah.
Like, take the statue down. Rebuild my crazy murder bot. Oh, you turned him on. He tried to murder us again. I'm not giving up on him. Let's go talk to the Fraggles. The Fraggles can't fix him.
The Fraggles.
And then they're like, you got to get this chip. So we're just like, okay. So he's going off to find the chip, right?
Yes.
But no, he is turned away at one place for the chip. And then that's enough. That's enough. I've had enough of looking for the chip. I'll take this bad motivator, Astromech, and I'm going to go because my goal right now is not IG-11. My goal is I want to be a Mandalorian again. I want to be allowed into my club. I want to go back to the clubhouse, and that's, you know, that's what he wants. That's all that matters to him. So he's like, all right, give me the Astromech, and goes to Mandalore. Just, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
No, none of this. Like, let's pack a lunch. None of this stuff.
He asked Grogu, he's like, you ready to go on an adventure?
Yeah, go on an adventure. Yeah, man, okay, done. We're going to this place. And they go straight to the place.
Right.
They go straight there.
Right. I was worried about episode two being almost not a filler episode, but the majority of it being like the side quest episode. Where like, we got to find the IG-11 part because I got to have IG-11.
No.
So it kind of throws our theory out that we were considering IG-11 was going to end up the sheriff.
It's not over yet.
You think he's going to come across that piece?
Yet. It's not over yet.
Fair enough. We're only three episodes in.
They're still working on him. They're still fixing him and waiting for that part. So if he gets that part, Fraggle's going to have him ready to rock.
Fraggles.
I'm telling you, it will come about. At the end, he will have that chip somehow.
IG-11 is going to be the new sheriff in town.
And he's going to come out and just waylay everybody.
Okay. All right.
Everybody's catching him.
The theory is still in play then.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
I still hold Creed. I believe. Creed 3.
Creed. So good.
Anyway. I think that's still going to be in play. So he goes there. He sends the little scared robot in there. He's like, go on, stop being a baby, robot. Grow up, robot. You're older than me. Get in there.
Do your thing.
And then, you know, he's like, look, we can watch him on the scope. And I was like, well, he's gone.
Yeah, okay.
No way.
He's about to disappear.
This is such a trope here. Here, we're watching him on the scope, and then he's gone and disappears. Yeah, okay. So then he puts on his Darth helmet, Darth Vader.
It's the Darth helmet.
Darth helmet. He puts on his Darth Vader breathing apparatus, and he goes to look for him, and there he finds weird cavemen.
I don't know what they're called. Alamites. That's what she calls them. They're Alamites. I don't know much about Al.
All I know about them Alamites is Alamite catch that Darksaber.
you know what they look like? Remember the old Swamp Thing movie from the 80s? The first one, not the really bad second one, the really not too good first one. Where Arcane took the serum and turned into that wolf monster thing. That's what it looked like. That's what those things look like.
I don't know.
Google it.
And then he pulls out the super heavy Darksaber.
For him.
Yeah, for him. And manages to swat a few of them away and survive.
I was like, he's going to chop his leg off.
He's just so bad with that thing. Yeah. Why is he so bad with
it? In 2 years, apparently, he still hasn't figured out how to wield that.
That's something we didn't discuss, because that was something that came out after the first episode, was that Favreau had said, apparently, Grogu trained with Luke for 2 years.
And I still think he said that wrong.
Crazy talk.
Yeah, I don't think that was it. I think it's been 2 years since Grogu left Luke and came back to the Mandalorian.
That's even crazier. Years.
But that makes more sense, because
it doesn't. That makes no sense.
No, but think about it. If he left with Luke right at the end of season two, and it's only been a couple months, and then he goes and finds the kid and delivers the little chainmail Beskar thing for him. I get that with Grogu's power still not as developed as they could have been. That makes more sense than it's been 2 years since the end of episode two of the final episode of season two to then, and he still hasn't developed. That didn't make sense. It makes more sense to me that Maybe it was a couple months, and then it's been only 2 years since Grogu popped up on Tatooine during Book of Boba Fett to rejoin Mandalorian, and they've just been palling around. So he hasn't worked on his Darksaber skills. Grogu obviously hasn't been training as a Jedi, so that's why his powers still aren't that developed.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It doesn't seem like, maybe it's 2 years since Din first found Grogu. Maybe the entirety of the first two seasons is 2 years. But he said he was with Luke for almost 2 years.
And that to me makes no sense.
Nuts!
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all because he still barely knows anything in the Force. Like, is that Luke that bad of a trainer?
Yeah, I don't know if he barely knows. He seems to be using it fairly comfortably.
He's using it easier than he did before, where he wasn't, he's not passing out after he uses something like he did before.
He's doing the jumps, and he's not passing out. He threw the Alamite. Alamite catched him little baby hands.
we'll catch his hands.
Catch them hands. You want to fight me? Do you want to catch these? I love that song. I don't know why, but I love that song.
That's good. It's to me, him being with Luke for 2 years doesn't make sense. Why would the Mandalorian after 2 years decide, hey, I want, like, he's obviously been doing bounty hunter stuff in those 2 years. Yeah. Whatever.
What you been doing?
Bounty hunter stuff.
Bounty hunter stuff. Crimes.
We're going to do some crimes. But like, he's obviously been collecting bounties, been getting payment. Getting Beskar and doing stuff like, why after 2 years is all of a sudden he's like, you know what? I miss Grogu. I'm gonna make him a little shirt and I don't know.
Maybe what had happened was potentially is after Grogu left with Luke and they took Gideon in and his group that he was affiliated with had to leave the planet that
what planet?
The guitarist from
what?
The guitarist from
what show are you talking about right
now? Yeah, the guitarist from Jane's Addiction.
Dave Navarro?
Navarro. Had to leave Navarro. Initially.
Oh my God, that's great! What a way to connect.
I just couldn't. I couldn't think of the name of the planet. Sorry.
It's Addiction.
It's Addiction. It's a great band.
Oh, this is great.
Okay. So the group of Mandalorians that he was affiliated with had to leave Navarro. So maybe he spent the better part of a year finding them again. Right?
Right.
And during that time, yes, he was doing bounties and whatnot, but that would have been potentially, I could see that taking some time. It's a big universe.
Sure.
You know, and they would have been fairly secretive being Mandalorians and such. What'd they say? Call it a conclave or?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. But I keep wanting to call it a glaive.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. We're getting off way in the weeds on this, but Din's in the mines.
I keep still thinking about Dave Navarro. I'm sorry.
Dave's in the mines. Dave Navarro's in the mines.
Yeah.
And he's doing Ink Master from the Mines of Mandalore. No. So Din's down there. He finds the robot. Hey, you fine? Yeah, I'm fine. Robot's fine. He's like, test the air. He goes and he says, air's fine.
Air's good. Take off the helmet.
Let's roll.
Well, not take off the helmet, but like
take off your Darth Vader thing.
Yeah.
And he does. And it's breathable. Like, why are you going to trust that robot? But whatever. So him and Grogu decide they're just going to go wandering around.
In the cave.
With no backup.
Yeah, with like you just took out these little alamite creatures.
And then there's little winged alligators and there, little dragons in there.
Yeah, just hanging out in the sewers.
In Florida.
Yeah. But that
alligators in the sewers in Florida.
It turns out that wasn't even the worst thing you had to worry about in there.
No.
You gotta worry about
Mecha Godzilla?
Yeah. Or
what was
like
that thing?
Baby Grievous or whatever
I don't know
that,
what
thing,
that
was.
Thing was. But that thing was creepy.
Dude, when the machine that the creature was in jumped out of the sands and grabbed me, I jumped. I was like, whoa.
Oh, no,
like,
me too.
I was
too.
Not expecting
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Was not expecting to see that.
But the design of that creature was like so cool. It was
very cool.
It was like a spider, but kind of like a crab, but kind of like it reminded me of like an alien that saw Grievous, or maybe whoever or whatever Grievous was before that, and his body got all jacked up and he had to be put in that mechanical suit. Like, was that one of the creatures that built that suit for Grievous way back in the day? It's been living underground ever since.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, how did it end up on Mandalore?
Right. I don't know.
Because something in there was not mechanical, but it right. was...
It was only like an eye, like a giant
eye. I don't know if it was just an eye or what, but it could have been a small eye on a big face. Who knows? the lens made it look like a giant eye.
Right.
But there was something with a body in there.
Yes.
You know? And I was like, okay, that's creepy. And then it came out of the big robot,
yeah.
and it was still creepy.
Yeah, it was even creepier.
Had spines on his back and stuff. I was like, yeah, what is going like, on with you?
Like, I was like, what is, it's like a mechanical porcupine. What's going
Crazy
on?
Crazy looking.
Yeah.
Kind of reminded me, tiny amount. Remember the things in the first Hellboy that kept reproducing and they
yeah.
kind of had that little mane behind?
Right, yeah.
Sort of imagery a little similar
sure,
to that.
Sure,
but yeah, it was nuts. It's like, hey, and it puts Din in a rotisserie.
Right.
And he's like, oh, it didn't say anything that made any sense. It's just like, you just stay in here. You're going to be in here.
Right, and it's like...
Well, it didn't, not until later.
Yeah, but almost said Yoda. Grogu came
and after
was trying to
it
get
went
him
away.
Out the crab
like,
trap.
I'm going to get you out of the crab trap. He goes, no, go. You can't
go
do it.
Go get Bo-Katan.
Go get Bo-Katan. Go to the ship. Go get Bo-Katan.
I'm stuck.
Luke, there is another. Somebody sent me a meme about like feeling like I can totally understand how Yoda just decided to just like he'd had enough of Luke's questions and he's just like up and died.
Yeah,
like I've had enough. I'm just gonna die and disappear. I feel you, bro. I feel you. Yeah. I know how that feels.
I get that.
I get that a lot. Yeah. So Grogu goes back. Bo-Katan's like, the robot comes and tells Bo-Katan that we have another uninvited visitor. And she's like, I'll show him.
I'm done with this dude.
Done
get out
of
my house.
Walks out there and it's the baby. And the baby is looking distraught.
Yeah. Still can't talk. She knows, like, why is he here? And,
right.
and the Mandalorian is not with him.
Yeah. So she tells her robot droid to download the mech. Find out where he went.
Yeah, get the coordinates.
Let's go. So they go. It's the first time anybody cared about coordinates that I can remember. Right? Like,
yeah.
He went to Mandalore. Right, I know where he is.
Yeah. Got it.
Got it. The whole of Mandalore.
I'm familiar
with the whole of Mandalore. No, coordinates. Where's the ship? All right, take me there. Where did the ship come from? All right, take me back to that spot.
Yeah.
And bam, right back to the spot in her killer wicked ship.
Yeah, that ship is so awesome.
Wicked.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Even more wicked in episode 3, chapter 3.
Right.
But she goes down there, finds Din, saves Din.
Well, she...
She saves Din.
You at me. What the hell?
Because Din got stripped.
Yes, of everything.
And his weapons and whatnot was on the ground. And she was fighting with that, whatever that thing was, and said, oh... Look at what I see. It is a Darksaber. And then she put on
a clinic.
An absolute clinic.
Dude, the one shot where she has the Darksaber and she gets the shield up, the electric shield, and like pulls it back. Like that pose, I'm just like, oh, look how awesome that looks.
It was really cool. Like,
that's why she needs to be wielding this.
And she's just swinging that thing around like it weighs nothing.
Yeah, she took little robot dude and his little robot bug ship down.
which he slid under it and just like cut it open underneath. Yeah. I was like, bro, give it to her.
Yeah.
She deserves it.
Yeah. Quit holding on to something you don't know how to use, yeah, man. Let it go.
That thing's so heavy, bro. Let it go, man.
Let it go.
Y'all just play tiddlywinks. Whoever wins keeps the darksaber.
Yeah. Come on, dude. Paper, rock, scissors. Do it.
Yeah. Paper, rock, scissors.
Rock, paper,
nobody scissors. Says paper, rock, scissors.
That's true. I don't know what I was thinking.
What if they said scissors, paper, rock?
That'd be it.
That'd be terrible.
That would be.
Sounding.
Not good.
Crazy.
Well, she gets him out of there after you see that when she arrives, the little robot bug dude had hooked up an IV and was draining him of blood or whatever.
Viscera.
Yeah. It was not good.
This was a very cool and like actual concern for well-being kind of episode, right? Too many times it's like your main character is like way too OP and he just starts wailing on everybody.
Right.
Right? And you're just like, I mean, he's going to kill everybody. I'm not worried.
Yeah.
Right? Not this time.
No.
I was concerned.
He had to get rescued not once, but twice.
That's true.
And speaking of twice, that leads to Bo-Katan telling him, I will take you to the mines. You're not going to find it without me. Like, let me take you to it. And just kind of, she's real cocky and real arrogant, being like, oh, wait, let me give you the whole nickel and dime tour. And there's a plaque and reads about the mines of Mandalore and all this stuff. And she's just blowing up the whole thing because she thinks all this is a myth, this whole bathing in the living waters and mythosaur, yada, yada, yada stuff. She's like, whatever, dude, if you want to buy into the hype, fine. I'll bring you to the water. Do it. So he goes and he's doing it. And he's saying his pledge. And he's like, I'm going to go in these waters. And by my creed, I will be. And then he gets sucked in the water.
Well, he fell off of a cliff into the water.
I didn't realize that until afterwards. Because at first I thought
he got
something
pulled
him under.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But yes, you were right. He fell off. He was just walking down those steps thinking, I'm going to just walk down here and the water's going to be up to my knees. Wrong. You fell all the way down. Bo-Katan freaks out. She dives into the water. He has fallen all the way down this trench. She goes to rescue him and starts jetpacking him back up to the surface when she's looking around and spots a giant eye looking at her with a horn wrapped around his head. And lo and behold, Mythosaur. The legendary Mythosaur that she swore was just a myth and wasn't real and was a denier
to
all
of us. So now it's called the Realosaur.
Yeah, it's not a Mythosaur anymore. It's
the Confirmed-a-saur.
Factual sore.
Yeah.
Which leads us into episode 3.
Right. So when they get up to the top, Bo is visibly shaken.
Yeah.
And that is where we start episode 3.
The Convert.
Right. And episode 3 is kind of bookended with Mandalorian stuff. In the middle, the filling is something else.
Yeah.
But it starts out with them sitting there and she's waiting on him to kind of come to, and he's starting to move around or whatever. And she's like, you know, are you okay? Did you see anything down there? And he's like, no, I didn't see anything.
Sure, he didn't see anything.
And he goes, why? Was there something down there?
Nope.
She said, no,
just we're good.
Checking.
So why do you think she was asking those questions and she didn't tell
him? I don't know if she trusted herself. I don't know if she, because, okay, so this title of this episode is The Convert.
Right.
And we think that it's because of the guy, the doctor.
Dr. Pershing. It becomes a very Andor kind of story
right.
in the middle
and,
of it.
And
this.
He gets involved with the New Republic and the amnesty program to...
I have so many questions about this amnesty program.
We're going to get to that. But we think it's because of him.
Right.
But it's not.
No.
It's because it's Bo.
Yeah.
It's because of Bo.
No, absolutely.
Because now, the things that she poo-pooed and dismissed have been reaffirmed.
Yeah.
Myth no more.
Right.
Right?
Can't deny the facts.
The lore of Mandalore is in place.
Yes.
Right? So now, you can't see her face because she's wearing a mask or her helmet.
But you know she's got a shocked look on her face. But, like, what is happening?
Right. All of these things that she... Like, she's been very aimless and without any kind of purpose or direction.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Especially now that she
didn't get the
Darksaber. Back. People have lost faith in her.
Yeah, everybody jetted out.
Yeah.
Right? So now she's having all these things that had been her life. She's questioning them again, but in a different way.
Right.
So now she meets up, and we're just going to skip to the end because we'll do the rest of it.
We got to talk about the amazing.
I know, but we're going to
fight.
We're going to talk. Yeah, the aerial battle.
Yes.
Oh no, that was ridiculous.
That was insane.
That was crazy.
The sound of a TIE fighter, man, and those were TIE interceptors.
TIE interceptors, and yeah,
but just the sound of those things roaring through the sky. I love the sound of those TIE interceptors. Like
that
they just
scream.
They just sound so much cooler than, like, most Star Wars ships. Like, the Falcon sounds cool because it's like a big, giant, rumbling ship. Right. X-Wings sound fine, but that when a TIE fighter, TIE interceptor comes,
X-Wing,
it's like...
X-Wing doesn't really sound... doesn't have that sound. I mean...
What do you mean?
Like, the X-Wing sound you would think of more than anything would be the sound of the lasers being shot, you know?
I mean, they have a sound, but it's not as distinct.
It's not like that TIE sound.
No.
That TIE sound is...
It's very specific.
Yeah.
And it just sounds badass.
I could be walking down the street, and somebody would drive by in their car, and that would play over their car radio. Timer!
Start looking up.
Start looking around. Be like, Timer! Somewhere. So they get into one of the sickest battles you've seen in this show as far as, like...
aerial combat.
You know, like, yeah, dogfight stuff.
Yeah.
But I got to say, man, does every Mandalorian know how to drift to their ship?
Dude.
Like, what?
That one scene where she cut one of the engines.
Cut the engine, dropped the wing on one side.
Yeah.
Hard turn, pull. I was like, what is going on? We were watching
it
together.
Yeah, we were watching together.
I went, what? You know, I was just like, I mean, I said dope a lot.
Yeah.
I think I said some other stuff.
Kind of like with the Naboo Starfighter when he got back to the planet, he jumped in to like help her because
right.
her shields were getting beat
and
up.
And it was chasing, the interceptor was chasing, and he was pulling away steadily. And I was just shaking my head like, you ain't catching that ship.
Yeah.
You ain't catching that
ship.
But
he went straight up like Batwing.
And then he gets to the top of the
I'm
thing.
Batman.
And Charles says, Justice, I'm Batman. I was just like, that's pretty funny. It was very similar to the Batman.
Yeah, if
Bat
it would have been like a moon or something,
kind of thing. I remember watching that in the theater as a kid.
Oh yeah,
going, it was like the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
I feel like we'll see that scene again soon in June.
Well, maybe we will.
Maybe we will.
But yeah, they both like they. It's I don't know. So they're being distracted by these interceptors, and while they're being distracted, these bombers come through and blow up her house.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what they did. Her home. She said they bombed my home. Mudscuffers bombed my home.
And she went after him.
Yeah, she got one.
And then 85 more.
And
of
then
them.
all of them, all of the rest of them came. Like
yeah.
all of them.
Yeah.
You know, when the lights started coming on the screen on this little...
Yeah, we were like,
we
ooh.
Both went, oh, no!
Not good.
Turn around!
Not
go,
good.
Go, 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 go! Yes, fantastic fight scene. Amazing fight scene. the you know, so instead of
well, they weren't they couldn't find
they couldn't find
him.
They so they decide
destroyed.
To run, and he gives her coordinates, and the coordinates again
more coordinates.
I'm for it. I'm with it.
Yeah.
Take them to this location where these other Mandalorians and the armorer are.
Yeah, all hiding out.
They're hiding out, and they land, and he's like, "You're my guest." And,
don't take
like,
your helmet
just
off.
Don't take, he says, "Don't take your helmet off." And she's like, "Yeah, okay, whatever." But then they get like, she's, you know, Clan Kreese, and then there's a dude from Clan Vizsla, which were not friends.
No.
Back in the day.
No, they were not.
And he even calls her a night owl, which yeah. I thought was pretty funny. But they go in, they meet the armorer. He gives her the little water flask. She pours it into the Pensieve, as Charles said. And bam.
Yeah, because I was trying to think.
Mandalorian again.
I mean, that water could have came from anywhere. And like, I've got proof. Here's this little flask of water. That's why I was wondering, like.
Because when she poured it in, it reacted.
Right,
know?
But before that, I was thinking, how is she going to know that's the water, the living waters? I'm just like, he could have just went to Dagobah and picked up some swamp water and be like, hey, man, she saw me.
She knows, man. She knows.
Because she has the Pensieve. That's why.
Well, that or whatever. I don't know what it is, but she knew. The living waters reacted. And
I was
going like,
to call ripoff if there would have been like an image of him walking into the water. Nah, be like, no, you can't Harry Potter
No. And then so she's like, well, you're a Mandalorian again. Congratulations. And he's like, wee.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, yay, this is the way.
Yeah.
And then she says, and Bo-Katan of Clan Kreese, you are now by creed.
Yeah.
You know.
He was in the water.
You've been cleansed. And, you know, she's like, but I don't follow the way. And she says, well, you're here. You're doing this thing. Yeah. Do the thing that we do until you feel like leaving.
And then you can leave.
When you're leaving, you on your own. We're not going to hold you to it. It's your thing. This is your way as well.
Right.
And then everybody welcomes her.
High fives all around.
And we have this moment where you can't see her face, but you know in her is, she hasn't been around this many Mandalorians probably in a while. I don't know. Maybe she has. I don't know. I'm guessing at it. But to be welcomed back in to something and to have recently had this experience with the Mythosaur and the Living Waters and being back on Mandalore, like, I'm sure these are stirring up a lot of feelings.
Right.
So maybe we see her kind of, like, recommit to the way of the Mandalore instead of being just old sassy pants sitting on a throne, not doing anything. Right?
Sassy pants.
Okay. So that's all the Mandalorian stuff.
Yeah, because the majority of this episode dealt with what is life like on Coruscant after the fall of the Empire?
Exactly.
And specifically, what is that life like for Dr. Pershing, who we last saw with Moff Gideon, who was trying to get blood from Grogu to work on cloning technology?
Yes. We learn the reasoning behind Dr. Pershing's interest in cloning, having to do with his mother and how she passed and her heart had failed. And if they had had cloning technology, a cloned heart would have saved her life. And this could be something that could help a lot of people. And, you know, he does this big speech in front of all these people as part of this amnesty program. And the amnesty program is for people that were formerly involved with the Empire or part of the Empire in some way, some of them forced to be in the Empire, some of them not. And he does this big speech and then he comes out and there's all these people coming to talk to him. And like, you think for a second, like, oh, they're actually interested in what he's got to say, or they're interested in his research. Yeah. Wrong. They're bored, rich jerks.
Yeah.
That's what they are. They're bored, rich jerks. They're like, you know, the Empire, the Republic, the New Republic. It all just bleeds together. And I'm like, right. Yeah, because you got money and you don't care.
Yeah. One thing Pershing mentioned in his speech to the gallery, which if you remember Revenge of the Sith, you know that is the scene where there was the big the opera scene where Anakin sits with, at that time, not Darth Sidious, but Palpatine.
Right.
And he tells him the story of Darth Plagueis the Wise. As soon as I saw that staircase, I'm like, ooh, I know where this is. Pershing mentions the fact about what if you could clone the best parts of different people to combine them into one, like, genome, I guess.
Right.
To use. And I thought that was interesting because, like, I feel like that's going to lead to where how they, if they dive into how Palpatine returns and how they cloned him, like, what was the process? Like, is that why they wanted a piece of Yoda? Maybe they wanted, at some point, they wanted a piece of other Jedis they were trying to find to get them to build the perfect clone, which would become Palpatine at some point. But I thought that was interesting. And also this whole rehabilitation program, it's basically brainwashing these people back out of the Empire and being like, hey, man.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Like, it's not all the way brainwashing, but it's like a smidge of brainwashing. Like, it's basically like electroshock therapy, which you see happens to Pershing towards the end of this episode.
Yeah. Well, I think what they're trying to figure out is, they're giving them an opportunity to be part of the New Republic.
Right.
But they're also...
At what cost, you know?
Well, for some of them, the cost is negligible, right? If you were just a grunt on the ship, you're just not a grunt on the ship anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
but like you said, for like the hardcore Imperial people that were like believed in the cause and believed in what the Empire was doing... That's where you get the smidge of brainwashing.
Right. Well,
to get those people to be normal people, I guess.
Not normal, but I mean, well, at least more.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the word too. I'm drawing a blank.
Loyal.
Indoctrinated back into the system or back into general public, or whatever.
They're just trying to help them reintegrate themselves into society now that the Empire has fallen.
Yeah.
But in truth, they don't want to just kill them all, right?
No, I'm sure
to keep an eye on them.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of the higher-ups ended up in a prison or something somewhere.
Oh, yeah,
and like you said, these are like low-level grunts. But he's a scientist. It's almost kind of like, what was it called after World War II? Operation Paperclip.
Right.
Where the U.S. was taking all the scientists and all that stuff to bring to the U.S. to help them work on the nuclear program and all that stuff.
Yes.
Except they're not getting Pershing to continue working on cloning. They've basically got him in a cubicle sifting through old Imperial equipment and wreckage to be disposed of.
Yeah. And
so he went from one cog in a wheel to another cog in a wheel.
Yes, but he's now not even doing the thing that he is drawn to do,
right,
which is to study cloning. And he can't do it, and he's getting disillusioned because he's, you know, he feels like he's not doing what he's capable of doing and that it could help. And Dr. Frankenstein thought he was going to do something smart too.
Right.
He asks the droid the clerical droid or whatever, I guess, that's this maybe the psychoanalyst droid. It's asking him the question over and over. You feel resentment and anger, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And he asks about if he was to continue his research. And the droid says that his study in cloning is prohibited by the course on accords.
And yeah, blah, blah, blah. Second paragraph, whatever.
13 something. So now he can't do it. Now he's prohibited from doing it. It's not just that he's not going to get paid to do it. He can't even do it on his own, which, you know, would be frustrating for someone who's felt that draw or that calling.
Sure. And now with not being under the watch of the Empire, not working for Moff Gideon, I think he feels like the research that he started out to do, inspired by his mother, is what he can go back to that because he was like twisted with
Moff
Gideon.
But it's the same. It's the same.
No, it
research.
Is. It is. But I think in his mind now,
right? No, no,
like,
no. It's rationalization.
This is my passion.
It's rationalization, yeah. Right? And we get to see old. I don't know what was her name.
Aliyah Kane.
Yeah,
Gideon's
Aliyah Kane. Yeah,
Gideon's well, number two in season two.
Right.
Who he recognized, he remembered her.
Yeah,
from.
He recognized her, and she sort of ingratiates herself into his good graces and is like, oh, you know, I mean, we're both in the same situation. You know, we both didn't have a choice and blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to think about him anymore, just like you. And she's, you know, it's like, oh, I'm your friend. And they, you know, got to be friendly and.
Yeah.
Talking and whatever.
We can go into the shipyards.
And she says, yeah, we can go to the shipyards and we can get
some cloning equipment.
We'll get some equipment so you can start
like
doing
lab
your,
stuff that he needs.
You could do your home lab work or whatever. And he's like, yeah, let's. No. He didn't want to do it at first. And then he decides right. to do it. And they go and, you know, the whole train thing was very.
I mean, it reminded me of.
Every Western ever?
Yeah, right. Just jumping from stagecoach to stagecoach.
Right, or know? From every train car to every train car. It's the same concept.
That's what I meant. Train car, not stagecoach. That's a totally different thing. That's horses.
Yeah, that is horses. But they, you know, they get into the ship, and she leads them to the, you know, to the medicine bay, and they, you know, like, all right, let's get the stuff. And they're getting the stuff, and he's like, hey, what's that? I hear that. And she goes, no, it's just the ship. Let's get out of here, though. Just keep doing what you think. I'm going to keep watch.
Yeah, the mind flare. Yeah, basically, Kane is just an informant.
But so I think there's more levels than that.
I don't know. I think like she just found a new way to be just a crap person. She was terrible in the Empire.
I think she baited him into that situation.
No, she did. But I feel like she
Why
was part.
Why do you
part,
think she did it?
Because I feel like the New Republic is using her to weed out former Imperial officers, scientists, what have you, that are still somewhat loyal to the old regime or that can be useful to them, and they're going to subjugate them in a different way. So I feel like that's her whole thing. Like, we're putting you in here with all these people who were with the Empire, but now you're all designated numbers. You don't even have a name. You're all designated numbers. You're just like
right.
an assembly line of people that we have to put back into society or whatever. And I think her whole thing is like, we see something in you. You can help us find any potential Imperial sentiment among these people so we can weed them out and get them the help they need by frying their brain with the mind flare.
Okay, that's possible. That is one option. I have another idea.
Okay.
Okay, this is purely just my thought on it. I think first she's using this opportunity with him to improve her standing in this program and to be able to get maybe a little bit more leeway. Because she's going to be seen as someone trustworthy. And, you know, it's going to benefit her in that respect. Secondly, I think it's revenge for selling out Gideon.
Could be that as well. She could still be loyal to Gideon for sure.
I think she is still loyal to Gideon.
She took the lab equipment. We never saw her turn that lab equipment
right.
in.
Right. But beyond that.
And they mentioned there was a rumor that he escaped before.
Right. They mentioned that, you know, that, oh, he escaped. And they're like, nah, it's bull.
It's a cover. Yeah, it's a cover.
They did this, whatever. He's doing that. But you notice she never said anything other than, I don't want to think about him or something like that. I think that she's still loyal to Gideon. I think she's using this opportunity to get revenge on the doctor because he knows things that could come back to be a problem or problematic, right? Get rid of him. You sold us out. We're going to cook your brain. And then improve her standing with this Republic group.
Sure.
While so that she will be in a more a position with more power, not so much influence because she's still within the program.
But she they'll can trust start, her more.
But she can also start finding people that are sympathetic to the Empire still and start creating her own little cell within those people. You see what I mean? Like,
no, I agree with that. I agree with that as well. I did like how he was trying to convince the doctors and stuff, like, you know, she tricked me. He looks at the calamari and goes, it's a trap.
It was a trap.
It was a trap, which I was like, okay, that's a nice little callback.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, she cranked up that dial and pretty much fried him. So like, if she's working for Gideon still, when she keeps this lab equipment, who's the other doctor they give it to now to continue the cloning?
Well, if he still has any of the original data or anything, they just need to go forward from there, you know.
Sure.
But I don't know, I really feel like it was less about him or the equipment that they stole, and more about just like getting rid of him, getting revenge, you know, for turning Gideon in,
right?
And not turning him in. I mean, you know, basically setting him up so that they would be able to capture him. And you know, get rid of the guy. So that's my take on it. I don't think she's become a Republic shill. I think that she's still Empire. I think
Sure. Yeah.
She's just telling them what they want to hear until she can do the things that she wants to do or try to help Gideon or the Empire or whatever becomes the New Order or the First Order. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
New Order. How does it feel
to treat me? Let's keep going. I liked the Andor style story that is a little bit more political, a little bit more kind of like digging into how things are going after the fall of the Empire and what these people are doing to, you know.
Right, and that's stuff we never get or have gotten in
the past. Yeah.
You know, we had such big time gaps and information gaps that you don't really think about those things. But
no, and that's what I loved about Andor.
It's interesting, though, if you watched Andor and then watched this and you saw the dismissive nature of the rich and powerful during the Andor situation at the beginning of the Empire. And then now it's the same.
Yeah. Nothing's really changed.
It's the same. They haven't changed because nothing's changed for them.
Yeah. It's just like the, who said, meet the old boss, meet the new boss. Same as the old boss.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's pretty much,
it's, you know, doesn't matter who's in charge. The people that were behind, you know, that were making money off of it in the first place are going to keep making money off of it next.
That is correct. That wraps up this week's episode of the We've Spoken Podcast. Yeah, cynical.
We're cynical today.
Ooh, look out. We will be back next week with a look at episode 4 of The Mandalorian. Don't forget, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts yourself about these two episodes that we covered today, you can send us an email at wehavespokenpod23@gmail.com, or you can send us a message on our Facebook page, We Have Spoken Podcast. You can like the page, and you can get bombarded with a bunch of news articles that I like to post about nerd stuff on our Facebook page.
You'll love it.
You'll love it. It'll be great. But that marks the end of the show for today. So for the Grim himself, Michael Grimion, I am Chuck P. This is the We Have Spoken Podcast, and until next time...
This is the way.